Science Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on what? We're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is December 13th, 2018. In turmoil. Most of us don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end. And that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar? Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice for Yeshua tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, and or message. Phone number, of course, 620-878-4682. In an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886, but please text first. I've been getting so many calls on it, the solicitors and things that, you know, I'll get five calls, and maybe one out of four might be one of you folks, but the other four are the others, and so it's kind of hard to answer it sometimes. Anyway, you can always find updates of the breaking news, Wichita Mission Church, radio program archives, contact information, all of our ministry hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. And that tells you where our podcast is. And real briefly, I got to tell you something, folks, that's just driving me crazy. My wife and I weren't on radio last week. It was Hanukkah, and, you know, we were off radio for several different reasons. But my wife sang this little stupid, and I call it stupid, it's patterned after a Christmas song, and not, that isn't why it's stupid, but I'm calling it stupid because it's just silly. It's a silly little song about Hanukkah, and, excuse me, she asked me to put it on Facebook. Well, I was in a hurry, so no way I could think about doing it was by putting it up to the podcast site. So I put it up to the podcast site, didn't think about it, and it's crazy how many people are listening to this stupid little song over radio programs. I am not kidding you. And, you know, it's really just kind of driving me nuts. So, you folks out there, last week you didn't get radio, you got a silly Hanukkah song. Okay, anyway, having said that, we are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally. It's on YouTube, some FM stations. It's pray about sporting airtime. Let's thank our listener base. That is worldwide in places like Tokyo, Japan, Stockholm, Sweden, Guyana, Venezuela. And, of course, cities in the United States such as Washington, D.C., Plano, Texas, and Santa Ana, California. Tokyo, by far, downloaded the most radio programs over the last probably month. So they're ahead of Wichita for a change. Follow us and share us at Twitter at Pastor Dan Catlin at Brant77. Now a prayer will bring on tonight's guest. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray, Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not our will, Father. You're in control of everything. So please give everyone out there ears in which to hear and understand the truth. So please, Father, bless this program tonight in your son, Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name. Well, tonight we have back on with us Professor Tom Mack, retired. He's the principal and owner at White College Cottage Publishing Company, and he lives in Trinidad, Colorado. He's an A-plus certified computer technician and net certified network technician, as well as a book designer, web designer, and webmaster. In the past, he's even been an airport administrator, manager, and controller. We should also mention at one time he was a tax specialist. That means he's good with numbers. Thomas also did research with the Bible code since 1996, and that's a 20-plus years of code research. So with this kind of background, you know, he's really a good person to talk to. So welcome, Tom Mack. Welcome, Tom.
Good afternoon. How are you doing today?
Pretty good. Pretty good. That was a lot of noise over there. Anyway, really glad to have you on. How are you doing, sir?
Well, thankfully, I've gotten better. We had sort of a little scare about 3 weeks ago, and it prevented me from going on the program, but hopefully that's in the past and we're moving forward.
Yeah, amen. Well, you know, we've been praying for you over here, and so then you're feeling better, great program. You know, we are just overwhelmed more and more with false prophets. And I'm pretty frustrated, as you know, with one person I had on a radio program that even said that if the message that he was giving didn't happen before Obama went out of office, then he would be indeed a false prophet and he should never speak again. Well, that didn't stop him, and it didn't stop people from listening to him. So people just going on and on. You know, what's the deal? Aren't we supposed to stop in some of this someplace? Isn't there a stopping point in listening to people?
Well, you know, our biggest problem is we're not evaluating prophets the right way. We're not using scriptural standards. We've come up with our own subjective standard, which basically is, if he predicts the future, he's a good prophet, and if he doesn't, he's a bad one. Well, soothsayers can predict the future, and often have. The most famous one, Julius Caesar. Remember the soothsayer that told Julius Caesar, beware the Ides of March. What did Julius Caesar do? He dismissed him. And on the 15th of March, he walks into the Roman Senate, and 112 people put a knife in him.
Wow, was it that many? He was a pincushion then. He wasn't, not to laugh at the guy, but, you know, I didn't realize it was that many. I guess, that's a good example of how we kind of get tainted by watching a movie or something, you know?
Right.
I see a bunch of senators coming up and stabbing him, but not near a number like that.
Well, Suetonius called it a sacrifice. And people don't realize that on March 15th is the day that the Romans had to pay their taxes. So there was a lot more to the Ides of March than just the murder of Julius Caesar.
Right. Right. So what is the difference between you called him a soothsayer. What's the difference between, for the people, what's the difference between a soothsayer and, a prophet? Or maybe you should just take us through the scriptures and teach the people. I am very aware of these scriptures that you sent, and it's a very good work.
We've put it up into a PDF file, and I hope you'll make it available to people after the show. But the first thing we need to understand is prophets are important. When Yeshua built the church, he built it on the foundation of apostles and prophets. And you can read that in Ephesians 2 and 20, verse 20. And he did that to build a temple of Yahuwah. He did it to build together a habitation of Elohim through the Spirit. This is important to understand, because if you don't have this foundation, you can fall into a lot of problems. And in fact, Paul in Ephesians 4:11 actually adds three other offices to the apostles and the prophets: evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And he explains it's to perfect the saints, to prepare them for ministry, and to build up the body of Christ. But we seem to get caught caught on this, and you know, the devil has attacked. He's attacked in a lot of ways because he sees the foundation, and so he's got to break it. And he's attacked the apostles by making it such a high office that nobody could attain to it. And the Catholic Church has spun this to death to the point that anybody calls themselves an apostle, they come under derision, especially from the mainstream media. There's no such thing as apostles today, and a lot of church organizations say that apostles no longer exist. And they say the same thing for prophets. But here, when you actually read the Bible, you don't see that. You see that these offices are active and they're supposed to be working. Yet what do we see? We see a few pastors, lots of pastors, a few teachers, a few evangelists. But apostles, prophets, we don't see. And there's been a reason for that. But the reason the devil does it, if you go to slide 6, is if you don't have the foundation, then the body of Yeshua can be carried about with every crazy wind of doctrine. And you can, and then we can taken in by men with fancy arguments. And
yeah, amen.
Yeah, we've seen that continually.
Let me come in a second. A couple of things there. You know, I heard what we're talking about, folks. A lot of you can look this up. This is, you know, we're talking about fivefold ministry, right?
Yes.
Okay. Coming back. Now, that's a modern name for what's in the Word, and it's there. But, you know, and this is a question towards you. While we have pastors and evangelists much, and each one of these jobs are really super important. And, you know, I don't know if you're going to get into the explanations of each, but when we don't have the prophets in there and, you know, per se the apostles, but which an apostle can work in all of the gifts, but, you know, without real prophets in there, the church is really hurt badly by this and doesn't fulfill their anointing. I don't see. Back to you.
Yeah. The biggest thing you have to understand is we've seen prophets as somebody who predicts the future. And, no, that's actually the definition of a diviner.
Right.
A person with divination. If you really study a prophet and you go through and read the writings, I think the way to look at it is most of the time you would go see Isaiah and you would go see him and he's teaching the Torah. And he's,
yeah.
Man, he's teaching the Torah.
Amen.
But then as he goes through, he might go the entire service, and all he does is teach Torah. And you'll look over at your wife, and you'll say, this was a really good service. I learned a lot. But he didn't prophesy. Well, then you're not disappointed that he didn't. But then what happens? You go some other time, and he starts out teaching in Torah, and suddenly the prophecy comes, and you're suddenly looking at your wife, honey, write this down quick.
I got to laugh at that part because I remember when I first started going to prophecy club meeting, I my wife was my note taker, and we would be listening to something and go along and say, oh, no, quick, write that down. You know, not thinking I'd get the tapes later and work for them. But let me say this to the folks. Here's what maybe give you a little definition of a prophet, and this goes along with what you say. Imagine there's a man, you're out there making a brick wall, and a brick wall, they run this thing, and it's called a string line, and that string line keeps the bricks in one straight line. Now, you have several people laying bricks because they're doing it really fast, but there's a supervisor, and we're going to call the supervisor the prophet. And he looks down the string line, which is the Torah, And he sees that everything's in line. So great. So he just talks about the string line. But then, here comes that brick just gets a little bit out of line, and that guy is just going off. He said, get that brick back in line. Get over there and tap it back in line. Get it. And they just keep it up until the job gets, until it gets straightened back into the line, the line of Torah. And so that's the prophet's job. Back to you.
Okay. Let's look at Deuteronomy 13 for a minute. Start with verse 1. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and giveth thee a sign of wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto you, saying, because here we go, this guy just did something and it came to pass, but there's a catch. Whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other Elohim, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. What does the Torah say? Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet, or that dreamer of dreams. For Yahuwah, your Elohim, proveth you, to know whether you love Yahuwah, your Elohim, with all your heart and with all your soul. So, the important thing with the prophet isn't that his stuff comes true, is he bringing you closer to Yahuwah? Or is he taking you further away? When I see a lot of so-called prophets, the first thing that bothers me is this guy's talking about himself and making himself an Elohim. That's not where it's supposed to go. And we go further in Deuteronomy. Ye shall walk after Yahuwah, your Elohim, and fear him, and keep his commandments, and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him, and cleave unto him. And that prophet, or that dreamer of dreams, shall be put to death, because he hath spoken to turn you away from Yahuwah, your Elohim, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust thee out of the way which Yahuwah, thy Elohim, commanded thee to walk in. So he is very, very clear. It is the direction that prophet takes you. And if that guy is not taking you closer to Yahuwah, your Elohim, you are in trouble. And you need to disregard this guy. And let me tell you something. You go to Jeremiah 28, you read about a prophet named Hananiah. He prophesied falsely, and what happened? He died. He died.
Go ahead. I did you hear a beep for the record?
I heard something.
Well, I don't know. Anyway, go right ahead if you hear. I have no idea where it's coming from. I've got to I'll go in and check the things on my computer later at break time, but go ahead and talk. Don't worry about the beep if you hear it.
Okay.
You know how computers are. I'm not trying to interrupt the program, but you know how computers are. They just decide they want to do something, and they start doing it. You know, so I will check at break time because I don't want to interrupt the program. But go ahead and talk. I'm sorry for interrupting.
Okay, but the thing to remember, and I've seen this happen in modern times. I've seen some guy say something. I get a check in my spirit, but it's not enough that I'm going to say something. Maybe I should have. And I'm not going to say whether I should have or shouldn't at this point. But I've seen them shortly thereafter. They're gone. They're dead. And it makes me wonder.
Well,
and
there are some, let's go back just a minute. It says, it talks about the parts. If prophet speaks in the name of Yahweh, if it does talk to you, if it doesn't come to pass, you're not supposed to be You know, you're not supposed to be afraid of him. So if somebody and so I want to make this clear for the people. If somebody says, Yahweh told me, you know, or Jesus told me, Yeshua told me, and it does not come to pass, then don't worry about that prophet. He spoke falsely, and that's date setting. But what also goes with that, that needs to be pointed out, is if you look at when a prophet speaks something, that people misinterpret things. Just because a prophet says, okay, America's going to fall, that doesn't mean like next week. That doesn't mean 10 days from now. It could be 100 years from now, so to speak. So most prophecies given, most prophecies given by real prophets, you know, don't the people were warned way ahead of time. Clarify, you know what I'm talking about. Tell the people.
Yeah, let's look at Jonah. Jonah, if you go to 2 Kings, he is regarded as a genuine viable prophet of the Lord. And the priests wrote him up as such. But apparently later on he was told to go to Nineveh and to speak against Nineveh. Well, we won't go in the whole story. But eventually he did go to Nineveh, and he said in 40 days, this city will be destroyed. But what did the Ninevites do? They repented. And when people repent of a prophecy, the Lord will turn back his anger. And it's in Jeremiah, I think it's 28:17, that the Lord will turn back his anger when people repent, when they change their mind and decide to do what they're supposed to do.
Amen. So, you've got 30 seconds. You need to tell them a website so we can go to break.
Okay. Website is whitestonefoundation.org. And also my publishing website is whitecottagepublishing.com. And
amen. Folks, I will put a link to all his websites. He has about four of them. I will put links to those websites. With this one, it goes to the podcast page, and I'll send a link over to the pastor's page in at prophecyhour.com. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
This is Pastor Dan Catlin. You're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, folks, we'll real quickly, a little something about the Mission Church. I know you heard a commercial, but listen, pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. You know, we're starting to go into the coldest part of the year, and usually, I mean, at least since probably the second year of Obama being in, you know, when it gets to this season during December, our donations hit flat. That's because people, I guess, don't have money to do all the holidays and everything and still make donations. And so we really, 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 really do need your support. These people outside are cold, and some of them, and we even are ministering to the homeless and poor. Poor meaning people that have roofs over their head, but still don't have enough money to pay for food, clothing, and everything else. So pray about it. We really need your help. And if you live in Wichita, remember blankets, clothing, those things, that older things that you don't use, bring them by. The homeless and poor need what you need. But we really, really do need your help. The Father notice, no matter all donations, no matter what size helps, and the Father notices all donations that come from where? your heart. Folks, you can donate online or over the phone or mail a check or money order. You can find all that information at prophecyhour.com. Or you can call me. Remember, text me first, 316-649-4886. But pray about it. And if you don't wish to help with the poor, consider a donation for radio airtime. We bring you some really good radio, and I know because you folks just keep listening and listening, but radio isn't free for us. We have to pay for airtime. We haven't paid it this month. We're 13 days late, technically. We have to pay for airtime. We have to pay for the internet when it goes to podcast. We have to pay for the electricity, all these things. So if you make a donation to Radio Airtime, make sure you say it's for radio. So anyway, we're now back with Tom Mack, and we're talking about false prophets, soothsayers, and really, how do we know the difference? Are you there with me, Tom?
I'm here. And indeed, and you were talking about when a prophet speaks in the name of Yahuwah and the thing that follow not, or
right.
not come not to pass. That's in Deuteronomy 18:22. I wanted to give people the scripture. In fact, I've listed those on the little presentation that comes with this, and I would suggest you download it, because this way you have the scriptures in front of you. But we're going to look at another one here, because we mentioned in it the two times Moses talks about prophets. What does he always warn about? Is whether they're going to lead you to other Elohim. We're saying, oh, they don't do that. Unfortunately, a lot of these guys do, and you never even know it.
Well, let me say this on that. And a lot of folks are sitting there wondering. They say, well, you know, number one, a lot of people use just the generic term God. You know, and when you look up the word God, it doesn't just necessarily mean our Almighty, our Father, you know, and even Elohim is the same winner. Here's the point that Tom is trying to get across to you. Even though they may say a name, it is what they are saying. You need to know Torah to be able to judge if they're leading you to another God. If they lead you away from Torah, that's leading you to another God, so to speak. But Tom will say it probably better. Back to you, Tom.
Okay. You know.
Oh, hey, this is just a subject I could get fired up and talk for hours on. So I'm trying to let you speak, you know.
I understand. And, yeah, the biggest thing, you know, when we talk about names of other gods, you know, the Bible is replete with them. You know, there's lots of them. The most common one. Probably Baal and his consort Ashtaroth. But you know, Baal sort of sneaks in there in a lot of other ways. And when we saw that transition from the apostolic church in the first century to a Catholic church in the fourth and fifth centuries, we saw a transition where they were working Baal in and working Yahuwah out. And they did it on purpose. And so when you hear somebody prophesy, thus saith God, most people would say, oh, he's prophesying. No, if he is, he's prophesying the name of a false god. Even when I hear somebody say, God told me to do this, I've now become very, very wary. Why? Let's go to Isaiah 65:11. And the bad part is if you look at it in most every Bible version, they've obscured the real meaning. And what I've had to do is go through and read it in Hebrew, and that sort of takes a little doing. But first I want to mention a scripture in Exodus 23:13. The children of Israel, just fresh out of Egypt, one of the first things Yahuwah tells them, and in all things that I have said unto you, be circumspect and make no mention of the name of other gods or Elohim, neither let it be heard out of thy mouth. So, suddenly, I'm saying you're not even supposed to say the names of those other gods or those other Elohim. I'm going, uh-oh, maybe we've been making a few mistakes. Well, I looked at Isaiah 65:11, and I see what the King James and everybody else renders it. But then I started looking in Hebrew, and suddenly I realize that where they say for that troop, it's actually a Teutonic entity named God or God. Whoops. But ye are they that forsake Yahuwah, that forget thy holy mountain, that prepare a table for God, and that furnish the drink offering unto, or offering, and unto that number really should be many. That's the Hebrew word, many. And gee, it's a pagan moon god. And what are these two deities? They're deities of good luck and fortune. The kind of deities a pagan would invoke prior to going into a gambling establishment. Yet, we're seeing people use the names of false gods.
Yeah, absolutely. There's so many. Let's go with this a minute. I want to reflect back on something that you said. I thought you would go a little deeper into it, but I want to do it for the people. You know, when the Ten Commandments, it says, thou shalt not use the Lord thy God's name in vain. And when people say, well, and I hear people, especially, a lot of born again Christian, it's always like what you said. They say, God told me this, God said that. I also am really aware of that, because if you don't know for dead sure that the voice that has spoken to you directly is from God, you are breaking that commandment, because you're taking his name in vain by uttering, well, God said that. Or, and I have a lot of people that I love very dearly that speak that way all the time. And, a lot of people don't understand that, a lot of people actually use that, and it's kind of like a form of witchcraft, because they use it to take power over you in a conversation. You start to say something, they say, well, God told me that it was supposed to be this way. Well, they broke the commandment, and they're trying to overpower you by saying God said, without realizing that how much trouble that they are in. So I'm not saying that you can't identify Yeshua's voice. Yeshua said that my sheep will know my voice, and the Holy Spirit does speak to us. But you need to be very, very careful about uttering, well, God said, when he didn't say. Back to you, Tom.
I started looking a little further. I was wondering if I could see this GD combination or Gimel Dallas combination in the scriptures other places. Went to Joshua 11:16-17. And what did I see right in the middle of that? A place called Baal God. Now, they translated Baal Gad. And I think that's a Septuagint deal.
Mm-hmm.
Because they had to use that because, one, they were translating, they were doing the Septuagint for the Egyptians so they could free their people. So there were certain things they had to fix so that they didn't offend their Egyptian captors. And you go to Joshua 12:7, and I see it again. And suddenly I see an association between and Isaiah 65:11, and Baal. I was not expecting that. Suddenly, I go to Jeremiah 23. And what does he say at the end of the 27th verse? As their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. You know, most people don't understand quite what he's really saying. Because people have forgotten Yahuwah, and they've remembered Baal because he's a god of good luck and fortune. So suddenly, we're looking at something a whole lot different, and we need to be careful of our words.
Yeah.
We don't need to be exchanging Yahuwah for Baal by saying God. And it's a little bit of a radical thing, but this is how it looks.
Amen. And you know, we look. I'm not, folks. There is. Listen. Let me say this. Now, I don't want the people out there want them just freaking out. Okay, I've been reading because here's the problem, Tom. As you probably well know, people read. You were in the Western world. It's only in the last probably 10 years or so that we start seeing all these different Bibles that you can get that, you know, use different names instead of using the generic names God and using John, Paul, Mark. But the problem is we are an English-speaking people, and we choose mostly to read English-speaking Bibles or books or whatever. And so, you know, folks, you just got to be really careful. The point is yes, I would strongly suggest that you either start looking up the names or find a Bible that you can agree with. My problem, Tom, is that a lot of the newer Bibles that I have found, you know, while they start to get it right, they mess up on a lot of other things. And so, you know, I have yet to come across that perfect Bible, so to speak. So we Bible study and we look up. But, you know, just the common person picks up the Bible and reads it from a Western point of view. It's really hard for them. And so just be really, really careful, folks, and look at the context in which the words are said. Back to you.
Okay. And so, you know, I started looking really for a good name of a soothsayer. And I came across the Hebrew word, Ayin Nun Nun. And it's Strong's number 6049. So if you want to go look it up. Now remember, Hebrew doesn't necessarily put in vowels. So I looked at this and I'm saying, where have I heard that before? Then I looked and sure enough, we have a conservative poster named QAnon. He showed up in 2017, I don't remember the exact date, but he started posting all these cryptic things. Well, now, what is the meaning of the word Anon? Soothsayer or diviner. Or more correctly, he's an observer of times. And I started looking at that, and I'm saying, uh-oh. And the first time I saw that word was in Genesis 9:14. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth. And that word bring is Anon. I'm going, uh-oh. He's bringing a cloud over the earth. He's trying to say something to cover us. Oops. Maybe we better look up this guy a little bit more. See what the Bible says about him. Moses tells us in Leviticus 19:26, you shall not eat anything with the blood, neither shall ye use enchantment, nor observe times. And then I looked in Deuteronomy 18, and twice Moses tells us, don't you listen to people who observe times. He puts it in the same class as those who make their son or daughter pass through the fire, that use divination, enchanters, witches, charmers, necromancers, wizards, consulters with familiar spirits. These are definitely, this is definitely in a class of folk you don't want to do anything with. But I started looking at the Observer of Times, and I then remembered, well, you know, the Vatican has that big telescope in Mount Graymore, Arizona. And, of course, what is Vatican Hill? The Hill of the Soothsayer. But then I realized, well, no. It isn't necessarily looking at the skies. Because in Genesis 1, 14, and 15, it says, and Elohim said, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs. I looked at that and said, oops, we can't call him an astrologer, because we're supposed to look in the sky. So it has to be something else. Tom has to do a little bit more looking. And I started to realize that these guys foretell the future to gain attention and to enhance themselves financially. And many times they work in the same circles. In Judges 9:37, they're called Menahem because they work together and they're regarders of the times. And we saw it again in the reign of King Manasseh, Judah's most wicked king. And one of the things he did was he observed times. He was a prognosticator, but he also used enchantments, witchcraft, dealt with the familiar spirit, and dealt with wizards. But the worst thing he did was he set a carved image, an idol which he had made, and he put it in the house of Elohim. And Anon, we got to look at this a little closer. And we find out in Jeremiah 27, 9 and 10, Anon is translated enchanters. And what do they say about them? For they prophesy a lie unto you to remove you far from your land, that I, Yahuwah, should drive you out and ye should perish. So if you listen to these guys, it's not going to work out for you. In fact, it's going to work out rather badly.
Yeah.
And...
Amen. I totally agree. You know, a lot of people, and I don't know if you're going to end up with time to even talk about it, but we've got about 4 minutes left. But one thing that is really troubling is I see the body of Messiah immersing themselves in horoscopes, you know, and a lot of them say, well, you know, that's not telling the future. And that's exactly what it's doing. And that's part of New Age that's creeped into the church. What do you think about horoscopes and those kind of things?
Honestly, I've gotten to the point where if I can do it, you know, sometimes you can't because it's not yours. But I almost want to cut them out of the paper.
Yeah.
I don't. Well, and like I say, these soothsayers, and that's what they are. Finally, we get to Isaiah 2:6. They're called soothsayers. And they be replenished from the east. And
right.
That caught my attention. And
right.
Numbers 23:7. When we talk about Balaam, He is a soothsayer. Never once in Scripture was he ever called a prophet. Preachers make that mistake all the time. He was never called a prophet. He was a soothsayer all the time. And he came out of the mountains of the East.
So what is for the people, I know, I'm just giving you what I know of people saying, well, you keep pointing to the mountains of the East. Do you explain to the people, what do you mean by mountains of the East? Why is this setting making you curious?
Well, because in New Age, if you go east of Moab or Jordan, you find a lot of mountains and a lot of bad places, the most notable being the Himalayas of Asia. And New Age people will tell you that their ascended masters live there and that they're going to be the ones that will rule the world someday because they know what's best for us.
Right. So when you say the East, you mean just like today, you know, folks, we're talking about the Orient towards that direction and towards the mountains where there's supposed to be all these hidden Tibetan monks and all kinds of things over there. So they know what you're talking about now. Go ahead.
Yeah, we're probably real low on the time here.
Yeah, absolutely.
But what I would tell you, I think as we sum up, you need to look at and you need to ask prophet or soothsayer, what is this guy speaking for? Is he speaking to get attention to himself and to enhance himself financially? A lot of these guys do. A real prophet of the Lord isn't interested in money. He's not interested in making a name for himself. And that's what you need to look at. And when you start seeing somebody who has secret messages, like Q does, and he won't give you the source, that's very troubling to me.
Right.
Most people who are credible will give you a source. And if somebody comes in and says, I'm a prophet, I already get defensive because they should really be teaching the Torah, and if a prophecy comes out, a prophecy comes out. If it doesn't, it doesn't. We don't need to be seeking prophecies. Prophecies come when the Lord feels we need them. Not when we think we need them.
Right.
And I think I'm
going to. And just for the record, all right, amen. We are at the end. You know, I went over there and looked at this link that was in your thing to Q. I've seen different things from Q, but I never saw this page of Q. And this guy's actually acting like a prophet or something, like you say, soothsayer. How does he, they're asking him the future and all this stuff. I, folks, highly question Q. I believe that there's many more sources than one for Q and that you need to be very, very careful in anything that you hear from it. Because some information is absolutely on right, others isn't. Okay, hey, brother, we'll talk again and soon. Please,
I'm
give your website and we will just, send me, we either finish up on this. Well, I've got a couple of other things I'd like to talk about with you. But please, give me your website. I've got to get out of here.
Okay. The one that does most of my work is BibleCodes.co, WhiteStoneFoundation.org, and WhiteCottagePublishing.com.
Yeah. Amen, folks. And I will put links up for that. And thanks for being on call with me. And I'm still praying for your complete recovery. And keep in touch with me, and we'll talk again soon, probably in January, though. I don't even know where I'm at here in December right now. Of course, my wife would say, well, you don't ever know where he's at, and she'll be back on next week. Anyway, we'll talk to you later, brother. I got to go. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, folks, pray about it, supporting Wichita Mission Church. But we've got to get out of here, so please remember, there really is only one God, and he is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repentant sins, and he rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. Again, pray about being a blessing to the Wichita Mission Church and for radio. We really do need your help. Lord our God, Father King Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and that his face shines upon you, and he's gracious to you, and he gives you peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.